Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mr. Robertson's Neighborhood with Cleburne Railroaders General Manager Josh Robertson. Mr. Robertson's Neighborhood is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Cleburne General Manager questions about the Railroaders, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Josh's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the GM talks to us about his hopes that baseball will get underway by July 4th. He talks about the Kansas City Chiefs' schedule for the upcoming season. And the GM shares his thoughts on Mother's Day. So let's join Mr. Robertson's Neighborhood. Well, let's welcome back Cleburne Railroaders General Manager Josh Robertson. Josh, do you have any team updates for us?
No team updates. I know. That's boring news. But no team updates for this week.
Well, sometimes you just don't have any. That's just the way it works.
Sometimes, well, when you know you get your whole team signed, and we're supposed to be, I believe, in day six of spring training right now. So technically, in my fantasy world, I'm in warm Cleburne, Texas, watching my guys out on the field and trying to come up with the best scenarios for who's going to make the final 23, but that's not the case right now. So,
are there things that you and Brent are telling players that you would like them to do to kind of keep themselves ready?
You know, I sent a letter out to all the guys, basically just I copied the coaches and the owners on it, just basically giving them an update of where our league's at and the latest press release that our league sent out, and but I know it's tough with things being closed to get in there and stay in their regular routine. And with you know, a lot of the states opening up, I don't know if some of those indoor facilities were included in that. I don't know if those were essential enough to open up. I haven't heard, but I basically said, you know, you guys know your bodies and what areas that when you are in an actual gym, you're working on to focus on strength and endurance and stamina, all that stuff. And try to use your creative juices to come up with something that you can, you know, find at home to accomplish the same thing. So I know a lot of those guys have been doing anything and everything that they can to stay in shape, and you know, my main point on the whole letter was to be smart, be safe, you know, and we'll continue keeping you guys up to date on what's going on.
Well, let's jump into fan questions this week, and we start with Joe, who says, does Major League Baseball revealing their plan to open the season around July 4th give you any new hope for your own season?
You know, everything's different. I mean, Major League Baseball, originally their talks were, you know, to play doubleheaders every single day and play all the games in Arizona and play with no fans. And the only travel that the players would have would be to and from the ballpark, and they wouldn't get to see their families for, you know, the duration of the season, and the players wouldn't even get to sit in the dugouts next to each other. They'd have to sit out in the stands, spread out. And I mean, Major League Baseball is going to get they're going to get revenue coming in. They're going to get revenue coming in through TV dollars. So Major League Baseball has a couple of other avenues to bring revenue in, where Minor League Baseball does not. And so, you know, the fans coming to the games and the sponsors being part of the team, that is Minor League Baseball's revenue. That's what pays the players. That's what pays the staff. That's what keeps the electric on. So when Minor League Baseball starts up, you know, all of the protocols and regulations, everything to keep the fans safe and the players safe and the staff safe and everybody safe, that all has to be, like, in writing and you know, a plan in place and a plan B in place and a plan C in place. If this happens, this happens, and this happens. Because you're talking about, you know, not just a bunch of major league ball players, you know, going to and from the ballpark to their housing, all staying in the same location and this and that. You're talking about 28 guys on a bus traveling 10 hours or more to South Dakota, or 18 hours to Chicago, or 26 hours to Winnipeg. So it's a completely different dynamic, our situation versus Major League Baseball. I mean, obviously that's good that they're talking about potentially, you know, getting off the ground July the 4th, but I don't think it relates. I don't think it relates at all to our league and what we do.
Next up is Raymond, who says, who do you see having a huge season for the Railroaders after the season gets started?
Well, I'd hope everybody on the team, you know. But, you know, Chase Simpson had a huge year last year. John Nestor had a huge year last year. Zach Neary had a great year last year. I would, you know, I expect guys like Angel Reyes and Ale Lago and Simpson and Nestor and Blake Grant Parks. I expect those guys to go out and have all-star caliber seasons because that's, you know, the type of players that they are. There's a couple specific guys that I would love to just, you know, come out of their shell and really, you know, explode, and that would be Grant Buck over at first base and Hunter Clannon out in the outfield and David Gonzalez at second base. I'd love to see those guys just have some unbelievable years this upcoming season. I'd love to see them really showcase it.
Next up is Eddie, who would like to know, do you develop long-term plans with teams you run, or is it always a year-to-year plan to just go for it all?
I think it's tough to develop long-term plans just because of the players themselves, you know. The lifespan of athletes is not very long, so you can't sit here and go, all right, I got these guys signed in 5 years. I'd like to have the same guys back. You know, the reality of it is because of the personal relationships that you build and you become more of a family than anything else. You'd love to have those guys stick around forever. But the reality of it is, you know, very, very few rare instances are you going to get any of these guys to be with you past 4 years and for stretching it. I mean, a lot of these guys are going to be at the max, you know, 2 to 3 year guys, unless they get picked up or retire or, you know, do something different with their lives. So, you know, you build long-term goals for the organization, you know, 5-year plans, 10-year plans, where we want to be, what we want to do as far as, you know, the stadium, as far as adding new things, taking away things, changing things up, what we do. To improve the business is always, you know, looked at as a long-term venture. But as far as the team goes, you got to kind of set your minds as building a roster year to year. You can't ever, you know, sit on a guarantee that this guy's going to be back, this guy's going to be back, so on and so forth. So I build every team every year, first and foremost, to make sure that the 23 individuals are good people and good teammates and good ball players. But I build every team every year to go out and try to win a championship every year. And whether that's having a good chunk of returners coming back or starting from scratch. When we won the 2014 championship in Wichita, we lost 16 guys off of that roster. So the 15 team was almost completely new. When we made it to Game 5 of the championship series in 2017, we had a roster of 22 in 2017 and went to Game 5 of the championship. And after that season, I lost 19 guys. So the 2018 team was a complete rebuild. So fortunately, going from last year in Cleburne to this year in Cleburne, we have quite a few returners, and then have had some excellent and very key positions filled that needed to be filled.
Tim says, hearing about all your accidents and how you battle back each time is inspiring. I find stories of overcoming amazing, like Jim Abbott. Whose story is really inspiring to you?
Oh, there's quite a few out there. I think me and the girls were watching a movie the other day. I think it was called Soul Surfer.
Bethany Hamilton.
Story on Bethany Hamilton, who was an awesome surfer and got her arm bit off by a shark and almost died and learned to overcome those obstacles and get back out there on the board and compete and be a champion. That was a tearjerker. That was a very inspiring story. Another one, a couple of years ago, Jake Olson. Did you ever hear about that one? The USC football, the long snapper. He was born, had cancer, had a rare form of cancer in his eyes, and was completely blind, and was the USC long snapper, football team long snapper, completely blind. That's just unbelievable, you know. There's a lot of stories out there, but those are two that are pretty inspiring to me.
We bring back Chiefs fan who says, Josh, did you see the Chiefs schedule? The first 4 weeks look pretty tough, but they look like they could run the table after that.
Well, I mean, running the table is pretty, big quest, but we got the Texans. That'll be tough. The first game of the year, Chargers. I don't see the Chargers being really tough unless they've reloaded. Ravens is always a tough game. Patriots tough. The Raiders, we've pretty much had our way with them. Bills, Broncos, Jets, Panthers, Raiders again, Bucks, Broncos, Dolphins, and then getting the Saints and the Falcons and the Chargers. I'd like to see the Chiefs go undefeated, but it does look like the toughest part of their schedule is going to be in their first, three or four games. But hopefully they can go out and everybody's healthy and go out and repeat a championship.
Andy says, Rob had a great point about you giving your truck a new name. You have to come up with a cool Railroaders name.
Well, I mean, prior to the truck becoming the marketing mobile for the Wing Nuts and being named the Nut Crusher, it was just Big Red, which I think is what I'm going to stick with. That might be boring, but I think I'm just going to stick with Big Red because, I mean, it's red. It's not orange and navy. If I go out and paint it orange or navy, then maybe, or we decide to wrap it, maybe I'll come up with some crafty name for the Railroaders. But right now, she's just going to be Big Red.
Walt would like to know what surprised you about Cleburne when you first arrived.
You know, when you think about Texas, you think everything, you know, big, huge buildings and lots of traffic, and when you come Wichita, Kansas, which is Wichita is a great city. It's a big little city. You know, within 15 minutes you're anywhere you need to be, and it's very northeast, southwest. There is really no such thing as rush hour. You'll know what rush hour is when you get stuck in six lanes of stop traffic in Dallas. But I was surprised by just how kind of spread out it was, and simplistic. It was simple, you know. And people, they're just, you know, nice people everywhere you go. But easy to very easy to navigate around. And Cleburne's growing. It's going to continue to grow. But, you know, if it didn't have all of the, you know, the national chain restaurants that a lot of cities have. So if you wanted to go to something that Cleburne didn't have, you'd have to, you know, drive 10 minutes to Burleson. But it definitely had the feel of a tight-knit, good community. Everybody knows everybody. You know, type environment. And that was good. I like it that way.
We have a couple of questions from David. The first is, you seem like a guy who likes all kinds of music. Do you have a favorite type or just a 90s fan in general?
80s, 90s. I like 80s, 90s music, but I like, you know, I like some old school rap. Not the stuff they're putting out today. I like country. So, yeah, I listen to everything. 80s and 90s music. The long hair bands, that's kind of my go-to. But I like some good country music and some old school rap. The non-vulgar kind, of course. but you know, anything that's pleasing to the ear, I'll listen to.
David also asks, he says, Brad and Michael are really big into music and talked about it a lot on the air. They used to share their top bands of all time. Do you have a top five bands of artists or artists you really like?
Oh, there's a lot of artists and bands that I like. If I were to go top five off the hip right now, I would say Metallica, the Eagles, ZZ Top. Creedence Clearwater, and if I'll throw a country one, Rack Flats, I would say those are five good picks for me.
We're going to have to get you to break out a little Enter Sandman for us one night here. So, Don wants to know, what's the best cut of steak?
Without question, either a ribeye or a prime rib.
Bill says, no offense, Rob, but this show would be much better if Brad and Josh were on it.
Wow. Cutting deep, Rob.
He's probably right. Brad would be way better than me, so I'm not going to argue with that at all. So.
Brad, and Brad will listen to this. We did Rail Friday night. They had me and Brad and Denning and our newest Lefty on the bump, and Brad was saying how he's listened to all of our episodes, and how I've he brought up the last question that you had about us, who would win in a foot race, and I said, you know, I chose the younger age and myself to take that win, and then when I said I'd throttle him in ping pong, they do this a la carte at the end of Rail Talk all the time, and he wanted to throw it out there that the next time I'm in Cleburne, we'll do a 100-yard dash, and he'll beat the brakes off of me, and actually started throwing it out there if people want to get involved and donate money, you know, any denomination to a charity, that Brad would match it up to $250. So he's actually trying to turn this into something, and I said, well, I'd match it too, and then he went on to start asking everybody questions on who they thought would win between Brad and I, and a majority of the people were actually in my favor, and I think it really upset him. And then he started going into his ping pong, and I'm like, Brad, you know, we're doing Rail Talk right now, and I'm sitting behind my laptop, and my laptop's on top of my ping pong table. So, you know, the banter back and forth is always entertaining. Brad is a colorful person.
See, he would be better. See, maybe Bill's right.
I didn't say that. See, I don't know why somebody would post a question like that. You know, I enjoy having these conversations with you, Rob.
I appreciate
that. It's just different. You know, you don't get as loud and boisterous as Brad does.
Missy says, you talk a lot about your dad, but it was Mother's Day on Sunday. Tell us about your mom.
God bless Christy Beth Robertson. To deal with my dad and us four boys. My mom and dad were high school sweethearts, and she was an athlete. She was a softball player. And, you know, they got married when they were 21 and had me when they were 25. So, got started pretty early, and it was normal back then, pretty early in today's terms, but, my dad wanted to make sure mom was at home with us boys, and we weren't, you know, raised in a daycare, and so my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I mean she worked for the phone company right up until I was born, but you know, pretty much from that period on she was a stay-at-home mom, and she's tough cat. Said not only putting up with those four boys and my dad, but just in general, but everything she did was for her boys, and she cracked when she had to, and our friends knew when they came over to the house if a bad word slipped out of their mouth, they were going to get one upside the head too. It didn't matter if it was her kid or somebody else's. So there was a deep respect from our friends towards our mother, and she's awesome. She's, you know, I gave her a card and wrote in there, you know, a lot of the things, the discipline and the unwavering love and everything that she taught us boys, you know, are all character elements and are a big reason that we are the young men we are today. So very, very blessed to have her as my mom.
Awesome. And we end with Paul this week, who would like to know if you and your brothers have nicknames for each other.
my three younger brothers have multiple nicknames for me. Whether it's they're jabbing at my toes, you know, because I got two toes from the lawnmower accident on my right foot. So when I was a younger kid, and so they'll call me Sloth or Toes, just Toes in general. But for Nate, we always called Nate Powder. You know, we're Scottish and Irish, so we're light complected, you know, reddish, strawberry, blonde hair type. I mean, me and Luke got more of the brown colored hair like my mom, but Matt and Nate were the strawberry blonde orange, real light complected. So Nate was always either like Golden Boy or Powder. Luke was either Puke or Little Wookie, and Matt was Chewy. That's of course when we were younger. You know, now that I'm 45 and Nate's 42 and Luke's 40 and Matt's 30 and we're all, you know, adults and married and have children and each other by our cute little nicknames anymore. It's a little bit more aggressive now. We actually broke the social distancing this past weekend for Mother's Day. Luke smoked a 20-pound brisket and some ribs, and me and Dad and Mom and my wife and kids and everybody else's wife and kids, we all met out at Nate's property and did some fishing, and we were out in his big shop, and we ate together and celebrated everybody's Mother's Day, and all the grandkids get to play around with each other. So we weren't necessarily keeping it 6 feet apart, but we had plenty of space to keep spread out and be amongst each other. So
you mean there was
sorry
an event?
Sorry if that aggravates everybody, but we for the most part, all of us have been at home following instructions and everything like that. And Luke even prefaced it with saying, "Hey, I was thinking I'm smoking a brisket and don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable with all the COVID going around, but I just thought we'd gather together out at Nate's and celebrate Mother's Day, you know, as a family." And so all of us were together for the first time in a while.
You mean there was an event out at Nate's and you weren't cooking? They didn't make you cook this time?
No, they still wanted my famous dip, which is a prerequisite for every function. I have to make my sausage cream cheese dip, and so Monica risked her life going to Dylan's to getting all the ingredients I needed to make my dip, and I made my dip, and we got some dessert. We brought dessert and dip, so I didn't have to cook. Luke was the chef.
Beautiful. Before we head off today, it's Wingnuts owner Steve Rude's birthday. I know you'd want to wish him well wishes out there, even though he probably doesn't listen to the show, but positive wishes for Steve Rude.
Actually, I did send him an invite, so, and he accepted it. So he might just listen to the show. But yes, I wish Mr. Rude a very, very happy birthday. That's a great man, and was a, you know, huge reason for the success that we had here in Wichita for many years.
Absolutely. Great guy. Well, Josh, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you, Rob. You have a safe week. Talk to you next week.
We want to thank Josh Robertson for joining us on Mr. Robertson's Neighborhood this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Cleburne GM, please send them to us at AskJosh@MinorLeagueSportsReport.com. That's AskJosh@MinorLeagueSportsReport.com. Please have your questions to us by Monday evening so we can give the GM a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Mr. Robertson's Neighborhood.